The National Institutes of Health will devote $3 million to look at semen quality and male reproductive functions in 1,200 men. The U.S. joins Finland, Scotland, Denmark, and France, which already have extensive studies underway. The goal of the federal study? To help answer an important question that's dividing scientists: are sperm counts declining? Shauna Swan will be directing the U.S. project. She's chief of the Reproductive Epidemiology Section of California's Department of Health Services. Dr. Swan looked at this issue before. Last year, she analyzed 50 years of past research and found a significant decline in sperm count.
We found that the decline, statistically at least, in Europe and in the United States was greater than had been previously reported. From the beginning of the study period to the end, sperm counts have been cut in half. Over 50 years, 50% decline. So that's a big decline.
Dr. Swan says that the decline is cause for concern.
You don't have decreased sperm counts in isolation. They're a reflection of some alteration in function of the testes. And there are other trends suggesting that there is testicular malfunction in males that's been increasing rates of testicular cancer in countries where sperm counts have been going down.
But not all scientists agree with Dr. Swan. Among them is Dolores Lamb. She's associate professor of urology at Baylor College of Medicine. Baylor's home to one of the largest male infertility clinics in the country. Dr. Lamb says you can't draw any accurate conclusions because the existing data is so poor.
A lot of these studies were based on semen donors, and semen donors are chosen for many reasons. One is that they have high sperm counts, and a second reason has to do with their general appearance, their ethnic background. So there's a selection bias.
Lamb says the donors in the study aren't an accurate representation of the general population and says that's why it's important to do a broader study. She points to another problem as well. Sperm counts vary by region. They're higher in New York and lowest in California, and no one knows exactly why.
The data don't permit us to draw conclusions whether or not male reproductive health has changed at all, but certainly these are very important hypotheses that need to be tested, and it's very clear that further research needs to be done, not only on what are the basic parameters of normal male reproductive health, but whether or not we're seeing any of these environmental changes.
Some environmentalists think the decline is real and could be caused by chemical exposures. Gina Solomon is a scientist with the Natural Resources Defense Council.
We're seeing a picture that begins to fit. In other words, these are all pieces of a puzzle indicating that there may be a real problem with male reproductive health that is developing and that could have implications for human fertility.
Solomon says there's no definite proof on what causes these problems, but she suspects chemicals that interfere with hormones, called endocrine disruptors. She argues that we already know that some of these types of chemicals are dangerous and says we shouldn't wait for results of a lengthy study to stop using them. But others caution against acting too quickly. Linda Birnbaum is with EPA's Health Effects Laboratory. She says we have much to learn about what causes sperm count decline.
I think we're dealing with very, very complex and complicated issues here. There are many, many, many different scenarios that can affect sperm count. Some of them are things that happen today, for example, hot tubs and tight jockey shorts or high fevers.
Birnbaum says it's naive to think there's only one cause for sperm count decline. And until more is known, she says EPA shouldn't start to ban existing chemicals.
There have been times in the past when we've been exposed to a certain chemical and we've said this chemical is terrible or this process produces lots of toxic products, and we switch to another chemical which turns out to be equally as bad or bad in a different way. So that we have to be careful that we don't jump from frying pans into fires.
Birnbaum says the new federal sperm count study will be a helpful tool for EPA in deciding how to regulate chemicals in the future. The study will begin in October. It's expected to take about 4 years to complete. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Julie Edelson-Halpert in Ann Arbor, Michigan.